Set on a fictional island off the west coast of Ireland, Pure Gold is the debut collection of short stories from Galway writer John Patrick McHugh. The stories give an irreverent, funny and sometimes tragic insight into the lives of an eclectic cast of characters bound by where they live, and all life is present in this place. John Patrick McHugh joins me now from Roundstone, and from here on in shall be referred to as JP. Good to have you with us this evening, JP. It's this island, first of all, off the west coast of Ireland. There are a few islands off the west coast of Ireland. Did you have a particular one in mind, or is it a total invention?
Hey, Sean, how you doing? I did probably have one big one in mind. My mother's family all hail from Achill Island in Mayo, and I kind of grew up there, basically. My family moved around a lot, so Achill was always the real home from home. And so when I kind of came to writing stories, without much thought, kind of automatically, I started setting them on this version of Achill, because it's not the Achill that's up there, but my own kind of slightly twisted, slightly gothic version of Achill.
And the type of characters that we meet here, did visits and time spent in Achill inspire the characters, or did they come from a whole host of different places in your mind?
A whole host of different places, but I definitely, the geography of Achill, kind of the brutal kind of beautifulness of Achill. It's such a lovely place, but it's such contrasts, you know, beautiful beaches and then the most like stark bogs, and that kind of dynamics, I think, played into the characters and the characters I'm interested in. I would say none of the characters are Achill Islanders themselves, but the place itself kind of informed them and helped me kind of get at their kind of innermost secrets almost.
So you're telling me that there are no Achill Islanders here. This is purely so that you can revisit the island safely. I presume you're giving us that that little ride. Let me talk about the first story, because there's a whole series of different themes that play across the stories, mostly young men and people in their 20s that we're dealing with in most of the stories. And particularly in the first stories, we've got quite young boys, in fact, Bonfire. And class plays a very subtle part in this. Tell us about the relationship between Terry and the unnamed narrator in the story Bonfire, the opening story in the collection, JP.
Yeah, so Bonfire is sort of the oldest story in there. I wrote that first when I was 20. And kind of what sparked it was that friendship. And I've kind of gone at it again and again throughout the years. And as you said, it began with just the idea of fires, two boys starting fires. But very quickly, I got so interested in this issue of class. And it's a very kind of thorny one. It's a very middle class issue, where it's a middle class person looking down at anyone that's below them in the most nastiest way possible. And it's something I saw in school growing up, but I never saw really talked about. You know, you see other kind of discrimination brought up, and not so much this one in my experience. So, yeah, that kind of developed, the friendship developed along those lines. And along with it was the fire and everything else. It kind of came naturally into their friendship and kind of is the spark for that whole story.
Yeah, and obviously it's the first story in the book. And as you say, it sounds as if it is the oldest story then in the book, from what you're saying too, written maybe the guts of a decade ago at this point. But you also, you spent time around, particularly with this story, I think, studying with the author Mike McCormack.
Yeah. I was very lucky. In my third year of college, I got to take kind of a year out as part of the course. So I was working in a hotel in Galway and meeting Mike every 2-3 weeks. And he would read my stories. He'd give me advice. He'd tell me books to read. And that was a real year when I kind of first started thinking about being a writer, because you kind of learned the discipline. You kind of learned that writing, you have to write to be a writer, you know, and that's a hard lesson for most writers to get. But yeah, it's kind of a lovely fitting beginning to Pure Gold, because my final meeting with Mike for that year, I remember giving him Bonfire, and I think that was the first time throughout that year he kind of read through fully and he kind of gave me a little nod and said, yeah, you should submit that places, and that felt like a big moment.
Yeah, and then when Mike went on, well, he's had his own successes previous to that, but the big success then coming with Solar Bones, you must have been delighted for him when that came about.
Oh, I was thrilled. And it was funny because I went off to do an MA and I was carrying along his first collection of stories called Getting It in the Head. And I was like giving it to people because I was like, this guy's amazing. I couldn't believe more people weren't reading him. And I was so delighted with Solar Bones' success and all that, because, you know, Mike's an absolute gentleman. But also, I suppose his trajectory kind of shows you how important perseverance is in any art form. how you have to stick at it, and no better man, Mike, than to get that success.
Yeah, you were off, in fact, doing the MA in creative writing MA at the University of East Anglia, quite a famous course, that particular one. What would you say was the most important thing you took away from that course, JP?
I think the ability to read other people's work and being able to listen to criticism. You know, that was the whole ethos of the course, is sharing your work and getting other eyes on it, other opinions. So I think that's probably the big thing I took from that course. And like, I had a couple of insane experiences over there. Like Issue Guru gave us a masterclass. Margaret Atwood was a writer in residency during my time. So, you know, looking back, it's quite surreal when I think of the opportunities I had over there. But the fundamental lesson I kind of learned was reading and taking criticism and reading like a writer. And that's kind of the real thing that put me in good stead since.
Yeah, I suppose not dissimilar to what Anson Boone, the actor, was just saying to us there about looking at the work of those, you know, who are ahead of you in the profession and learning from them and what they have done. But going back to your own collection then, Pure Gold, masculinity, important theme across many of the stories, in particular male mental health, a recurrent theme. It struck me that 12 Pubs in particular is an interesting manifestation of this theme. Not hard to work out that this is set in and around Christmas time. I think the 23rd of December is the actual day we're talking about. Eugene Masterson is our protagonist here. He's not a happy chappy.
No, he's not. Poor Eugene. I feel very bad for him. Yeah, it's funny because I wrote that story. It's now in the third person, but it was originally in the first person. And I kept kind of pushing Eugene aside. I wasn't really getting at him and figuring out why he was unhappy. And the kind of changing of the third person kind of forced me to confront this, the real bluntly, his unhappiness, his struggles with depression and just, yeah, general depression. And it's something, again, I know from my own generation. I think it's very few people who are lucky enough not to have suffered depression around my age or have not had bad thoughts. So I think 12 Pubs was my way of kind of looking at that, because, you know, this is a mild-mannered guy. He seems like a nice little fella. If he's a little bit innocent, you know, he's a teacher, but there is always that little darkness beneath it, and that ultimately is what kind of brings down Eugene in a lot of ways.
Yeah, and given what you're saying there about, you know, your own generation and you seeing a lot of people suffering in different ways with mental health issues in your own generation, was it a topic then that you consciously wanted to write about, or did it present itself in the story?
It presented itself in the story. I don't really, you know, I think it's very hard to sit down and be like, well, I'm going to tackle depression. You know what I mean? If I do something like that, I think it will get very boring and dull. But it naturally came up when I started writing, and it naturally came into the character. You know, often when I write, it's, you know, after it's finished, I'm like, oh, so that's what it was about, you know? And this was definitely one of those kind of things that I was obviously interested in it, but it only kind of came up after the fact. I kind of realized, oh, that's what's driving the whole story.
The stories that we're speaking about, for the most part, there's social realism in there, but a very different style in some ways, and certainly a different tone comes in the story. How are you, horse? Give us the setup for there, and the kind of surreal story that you give us as a result.
Yeah, I had so much fun writing How Are You, Horse. I wrote a story before. It was quite a timid, kind of nice story, and I had horses in a back garden. And I remember I sent it to an editor, and he was had the most uncanny ability to say no to my stories without saying no. And he just said, I've read many stories where the horses are outside, but not many stories where the horse is inside. And he meant that as a metaphor, but I took it very literally. And I just decided, well, what if I start a story where the horse is inside a house party and see what happens? And I was just laughing so much through that story, while still, you know, having my serious kind of thoughts. But yeah, that was a real fun story to write.
I read Sally Rooney has often referred to your editorial help in terms of her books and given you very high praise. You praise her in your acknowledgements. You also talk about Nicole Flattery and Michael Nolan. Do you kind of work as a writer's group, the four of you?
Yeah, we're kind of definitely, and we're lucky to be put in touch many, many years ago when I was about 23, so maybe 8-9 years ago. We're put in touch, the four of us, just four people who are really interested in writing. It wasn't anything that we're very good. I just think we just have the determination to keep going. And my work wouldn't be where it is without being able to send it to those three people. They're all amazing writers, and I feel very lucky. And I think, you know, half of writing is rewriting. And if you can get good readers like they certainly are, then, you know, it gets a lot easier to rewrite, because you rewrite with such good criticisms. I think as well, it's also nice in a very good-natured way. We're very competitive with each other as well. So when someone writes a good story, you're always like, oh, yeah. I want to write an even better one.
Yeah, so you're going to tell me, I know you've read Beautiful World, Where Are You?, which is Sally's new upcoming book. You're going to tell me everything about it, aren't you?
All I can say, it's very, very good. And we're very lucky to have Sally Rooney writing today.
Well, you'll still be our friend for not telling us, everyone, I think. Listen, lovely to speak with you, JP, and congratulations on the debut collection.
Thanks for having me, Sean. Cheers.
Not at all. And that JP, or John Patrick McHugh, and JP's new collection is called Pure Gold. It's published by New Island Books.